after having done already yesterday homage to the language of this country, and after having spoken French,
I may now speak English, and you speak in Basanta of our best words. To open the best 12th annual meeting of our Montparnasse Society. I do it in terms of cordial welcome to all who have come, in terms of best wishes for the successful meeting. But I want to add very hearty thanks to all those who have worked together for the tedious, difficult task of organizing such a meeting. And first of all, I want to thank our European Secretary, my friend and colleague, Professor Leone. I want to say that we appreciate his work all the more since we know that it was very difficult. And there was a setback for the hotel, and it was most admirable the way he handled this rather critical situation. I may do so all the more frankly since I'm a total loss as an organizer of any. Now, I spoke yesterday already in the Palazzo Madama in order to say a few words on the spirit of the locality, on everything Turin and Piemont stand for. I don't want to repeat myself, but in the presence of our first speaker today, I want to underline once more what I said yesterday on the great tradition of political economy in Turin, on the long series of eminent economists, from Francesco Ferrara to Luigi Einaudi. Now, I come from Switzerland, a country whose political organization is based on the belief that you work your way upward from the bottom. A minore ad majus, to begin by the locality and community, municipality, and then you come to the country. Well, I followed the Swiss tradition. I spoke yesterday, I spoke now about Turin, about the province, and now I have to say a few words about the country. I have to say a few words on Italy, the country where we meet in the history of our society now for the second time. It would be facetious on the part of your presence to go into the subject of the intellectual, spiritual, moral legacy of Italy on the subject of what we owe. What we liberals in the Europeans, and of course, you would prefer the Europeans and we owe to it, to this country about which Virgil said, Italia, de Sacra. Later on, Sanchez, Paese, Dovid, I.E. a problem rather similar to the other problem of the strength of the Communist Party in other countries, in France, and so on. And so I refer already to a particularly important subject of our program. Now, I think that this problem, particularly Italian problem, is a grim reminder of the situation in which we assemble that. I may say that in the whole history of the Mongolian society, the outlook in the field of politics, where we want to be active, has never been as dark as now. And perhaps it is dawning upon us that it may once more prove to be possible. What are the great truths of history? That suicide and not murder is a normal death of a system of culture. That it is the strength of the barbarian rather than the weakness of the civilized, which may be the undoing of the civilized. And by weakness, we mean, of course, the moral and intellectual weakness. In other words, we have come to realize that we have not to do with single mistakes on our part of the free world, but we have to do, unfortunately, with a state of mind, which makes us prone to repeat the mistakes all the time. We have to do with a permanent disposition of the mind. We have to do with an intellectual confusion and a moral disorientation of the worst kind possible. We may have to do in the field of the intellect and morals, political behavior, of what may be compared to multiple sclerosis in medicine. We have to do with the lack of volonté politique. And this lack of volonté politique, of course, has very deep reasons and leads finally to wrong thinking. To kind of thinking for which the Italians have a beautiful word which is untranslatable into another language. So the word is sinistrismo. We have to do with sinistrismo. And it is our task to bring light into this dark field of the human mind. So I think that the Mongolian society has never been more necessary than today. And I like to believe that more and more people, even outside of this group, begin to realize that. And I like to think that we have established a reputation. And we have to live up to this reputation. We have to face increased responsibilities on our part, and we have to respond to these responsibilities. I think it has never been more necessary to work against the incredible confusion of mind for values and for the great patrimony of our civilization is infinitely more than to be a scientist. And you can't be a great scientist, a good scientist, without being first a man, standing for the value and for the patrimony. Now, I would be a happier man standing here if I could say in perfect honesty and truth that our society so far has done enough in the past, in all the respects. I'm not quite sure that we have always been such a shining example of the kind I try to illustrate. I have my own experience. It seems really aged now when at our annual meeting in Princeton, your humble servant here made an effort to get signatures for a common resolution on the part of the Humboldt Society underlining what, of course, the country where we assembled suggested, underlining the Atlantic community and the common value Europe and America sent. And it was one of the most humiliating tasks I had to accomplish. And I don't want to remember some arm that I got when I was beggaring for some of the sickness. Now, there are some of the memories which come to my mind when I try to remember what we have done and what we have not done so far. And let us keep in mind now in this deadly peril of the hour what happened in Berlin, where communism has managed to combine its most complete inner, genuine, moral bankruptcy with a maneuver which once more has inflicted a major defeat on the people. A very strange combination. And in view of this bankruptcy of communism, let us declare to the whole world that no one whose mind is not already poisoned by communism can pretend to be neutral vis-à-vis this last proof of what communism stands for without proving that he is stupid, barbaric, and utterly contempt. Ladies and gentlemen, there are strong words of your presence. But may I here remind you of a saying of the great German writer essayist of the 18th century, who also was a great scientist of his time, Lichtenberg at Göttingen, who has said, "Their moderation in blaming is a fault, indifference becomes a crime." And that is exactly the situation which we have to face. Or if you allow me to quote myself and to quote what I wrote now 20 years ago in the dark hours of the last time of totalitarian menace to the world, the darkest hours of the Third Reich from Geneva. A society is in a bad way if its capillary reflexes no longer react instantaneously to the blood flow of broken laws and arbitrary power of inhumanity, intolerance, cruelty, and murder. And if that apathy sets in, which is the harbinger of becoming president. Ladies and gentlemen, let us give the deepest sense to our life of scientists, of politicians, of journalists, of men of economic affairs, by doing our utmost to work against this peril of America. And let us avoid the mental disease of so many intellectuals who should remember another word of wisdom, also due to wisdom, them, who said, one has to believe in certain ultimate values because it would be absurd not to believe in them. Ladies and gentlemen, after this short overture,